Hey there, Distillery Sessions is back for 2023. I'm Steve Ween, founder of Distillery, a content company with offices across London, Singapore and San Francisco. And indeed, this first episode from our brand new series comes from San Francisco. We're doing a mini-series on Web3, and I'm so excited to welcome our first guest in the series, Jessica Lawson. Jessica is the CEO and co-founder of Radia, the first multi-chain and multi-web Web3 wallet for media and entertainment. Jessica led Radia through Techstars Music Accelerator in early 2022. Previously, Jessica was the COO of Strange Loop Studios and Spirit Bomb, the world's first virtual artist record label, and an early stage startup. It was here that she first dove into the world of NFTs and their application to music. Outside of work, Jessica is making Web3 accessible and digestible with a mission to onboard 1 million people into Web3. Hi, Jessica. Could you kick off by telling us how you got into the Web3 space?
Yeah, so my experience was almost the complete opposite of Web3 before getting into Web3. So spent a couple of years at Deloitte in consulting, working with national security agencies, helping them figure out their digital business problems. And so really fell in love with technology there. But, you know, thinking about working with the NSA, CIA to Web3 was a very big transition. So went to Wharton for business school. And while I was at Wharton, started working with a metaverse music startup. And they were starting to do NFTs. And the lead creative at this company, it's called Spirit Bomb and Strange Loop Studios, he was gung-ho about NFTs. He's an artist, right? You know, he's a chief creative officer. I, you know, did not grow up around fine art or like a lot of art of any kind aside from like performing arts. Like I grew up dancing, was a cheerleader, etc. And so I just assumed, you know, at the time this was end of 2020, very beginning of 2021. So right kind of as the art market was starting to boom with NFTs. I was very, very skeptical for the very first few months. And how I got into NFTs was through this company and we started doing NFTs. So we were creating virtual artists, which if you imagine the gorillas, these 2D, 3D characters, bringing them to life as musical artists, we were building our own. And so it was very natural for us to release a music track with this, you know, virtual artist performing as an NFT. And so we started doing that. Again, I was very, very skeptical. But what we saw after doing, you know, 5 or 6 of them was just the amount of loyalty that we were able to create with our company and brand as a result of doing those NFTs. And it wasn't until we had an event in person at Bright Moments. So they're like kind of like one of the premier NFT in-person galleries currently in LA, but they do pop-ups kind of all over the world. And we were, I think, maybe their second event that they held ever. And we had Justin Beretta from the Glitch Mob come and DJ because he was someone we worked with, and just had, you know, kind of like the who's who of the NFT art world come to this event. And it was really there in person that I saw the power of community and the power that you can build of loyalty through NFTs. And to me, that's what really changed it from being this type of item that I viewed as almost exclusively similar to traditional art, where it's this very expensive piece of art. You know, someone with a lot of money is probably buying it, which was not me growing up as a child. Wasn't around that kind of stuff. And really saw the power that is beyond it.
So in terms of that community piece, I think we'll probably talk a lot about community during this conversation. What was the sort of timeline we're talking about?
In this case, things were happening pretty quickly. So I will also give context that our company had already had an established presence in the music art world. So we had already been known for being like really nice, first off, but also having like really kick-ass music visuals. Like we worked with The Weeknd, Lizzo, Billie Eilish, Kendrick Lamar, you know, you name a top tier artist and we work with them. And so we'd already kind of had that piece of like aspirationalism and expertise there that people did, like, younger artists knew who our chief creative officer were, for example. So there was already some type of like loyalty building there. And then what we did was we started working with additional artists outside of the company to actually do these NFTs for the music. And that helped us really build community because we were then able to tap into their communities. And then having these in-person events really helped us actually create the in-person capacity, because this was very early 2021. So vaccines were kind of just starting to roll out. There hadn't been too many in-person events yet. And so I think we did it at a short period of time. So like our first NFT launch was in end of February, early March 2021. And this in-person event was in July. So what? That's like 4 months. And I think today, I think it takes a little bit longer in 2023, but because of that additional expertise that we had, we were able to move a lot faster than I think the normal company would have been able to.
So on the topic of speed, one of the missions that I mentioned in the introduction was your mission to onboard 1 million people into Web3. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, I really didn't come from this world and really didn't know a lot about it. The way that I got involved into it was through my last job, and really just kind of having someone hold my hand and guide me through that. And so the way that I try to do that is through social media. So whether it's posting on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram or Twitter, sharing links to podcasts that I listen to and find really fascinating about Web3, or finding articles too. And just, I think I try not to be someone that's like constantly trying to convince someone of my point of view. I think there's plenty of people out there that just want to be heard. Instead, I try to be an aggregator of resources and share that with my audience. And so that's the main reason, or the main way in which I hope to be able to do that.
Awesome. So let's go back to the business piece. How fundamental do you think Web3 is to businesses today, and also businesses of the future?
If you'd asked me this question last year, I think I'd have a lot more confidence in my answer. Today, in January 2023, I think that the blockchain, it's inevitable that it will transform the way that we think about data and that we store data. There's always been a problem of like having unique data within a large organization and being able, you know, email addresses in the marketing world have been, you know, the unique identifier for so long. But what happens if I, as a customer, have multiple email addresses, or like you want to be able to connect to one email address across companies, for example? Like, let's say Red Bull wants to do a partnership with Porsche. How do you actually figure out who the common customers are, et cetera? I think the blockchain 100% is going to help tackle that and thinking about the way that we have unique data now. On the consumer end, from like a B2C angle, I think that the ease at which it is for consumers to adopt Web3 and to adopt crypto wallets and start using cryptocurrency and not be scared of it, especially after everything with FTX and just like the market kind of tanking, I think that I am less confident in, just because there's not as big of a business that, or like an immediate business need, in the sense that we can all agree on the B2B side that it's really important to have unique data and be able to like make data clean, make data really easy to use, and make as well like make payments faster and easier too. Like, that's a no-brainer. I think it's just figuring out what the killer use case is for consumers, that's going to be the real question of how confident I am it'll be adopted soon.
Can you talk to us about any killer use cases that come to mind?
Yes. So I'd say right now, I think what Starbucks is doing, so with Starbucks Odyssey, so they're basically, you know, Starbucks has been one of the pioneers since they launched their program in, you know, 2008, 2009, their loyalty program, of just loyalty programs in general. Just, you know, people start getting iPhones, smartphones in general, and then they developed their app, and then this, you know, this system for being able to credit people every single time they visit, and really kind of rewrote what a loyalty program could be. And that's really what NFTs are too. Like, anytime I have a friend that asks me what an NFT is and like doesn't really get it, I think about an example that is relevant to their lives and show them how that if they have that particular NFT, they can then receive stuff because of it, right? And so what Starbucks is doing with Starbucks Odyssey is, which is their new Web3 program, they're basically taking their most loyal customers that they possibly have and trying to gamify the experience and build a deeper connection with the brand. And I think that to me is the best way that consumer facing companies can be interacting with Web3 at this point in time, is to create an experience that becomes, you know, an extension of the brand, gets them to spend more time with the company and engage with that company in new ways as well.
So that's a great example of a brand getting it right. What about any examples that you've come across when brands haven't got it quite right?
Well, we were chatting about Porsche. Porsche this week launched a 10,000 NFT collection and it pretty much flopped. They only sold out 17%. To give them credit, like the NFT market is not what it used to be when folks like Adidas, almost exactly a year ago, you know, December 2021, they launched their NFT collection and it sold out immediately. Like I remember the day, it was like 70,000 NFTs, right? Like the market's totally different. So to give them credit, there's that. But at the same time, a lot of the feedback from the community in general was they didn't focus enough on actually, you know, building a community. But also the central question with Web3, if I'm a brand, I got to be thinking, who am I targeting, right? Like at the end of the day, it's all about the customer. And you really have to understand whether or not your existing customer is open to Web3 and is open to the blockchain and open to, you know, blockchain interactions. And I think with them, they might not have done enough research there to figure out, are we converting existing customers or are we trying to go into Web3 and tap into new folks, right? Because like the typical Web3 person right now, it's like 75-80%, you know, straight white guys. And so, you know, and these guys, and I think of like crypto degenerates, which are like these guys in their like mom's basement, just like trading crypto all day. That's very stereotypical, not totally true all the time. But is that the same person that is going out and buying a Porsche? Probably not. But at the same time, it might be someone that wants to buy an NFT that isn't as much as a car, but wants to still be a part of the Porsche ecosystem. So, you know, overall, like I could potentially see where their customer could lie into it, but they just didn't do a really great job of building enough community there and like really figuring out who they're going after.
It's funny, isn't it? Because that's sort of marketing 101, isn't it? So looking ahead, can I ask what your vision of marketing and content will look like over the next couple of years?
Yeah. So I think I'll answer marketing and content separately. So first off, with marketing, I am very, very confident that in 5-10 years, all loyalty programs will be blockchain-based. Like, it is just the perfect use case for loyalty programs. And so I think that, you know, there's Starbucks Odyssey, but I think like even our, you know, think about credit card loyalty programs, your point system, you know, those should be able to be transferable between companies. And, you know, today if I have Amex and Chase Sapphire credit cards, okay? So I should be able to transfer points between those two companies, or, you know, Chase partners with infinite amounts of airlines. That whole airline point system process transfer is kind of a nightmare. And so being able to do that, I think, is one thing, but also being able to constantly reward your customers and keep them coming back. I mean, there's a couple ways you can grow your business. You can either acquire new customers or get your existing customers to spend more. And building a loyalty-based program that is something that the NFTs and blockchain can assist with, I think it's just going to get people to spend even more money than they probably would have otherwise. Because you now, it's like having stock of a company, right? If the price of your NFT goes up, you're probably either going to be more excited about that company because you want it to keep going up, because in theory, you either want to keep it or you're going to sell it, right? It's just like thinking about assets. So I'm really excited about that for marketing. I cannot wait for the day that like Disney releases a blockchain-based loyalty program. I think that's going to be really wild. On Sunday, I literally like bought a Disney annual pass. I live in Los Angeles and like grew up going to the parks as a kid. And they've already started to venture into the space, and they've been hiring a lot on the legal side for the metaverse and Web3. So right now Disney's doing stuff with Vivi, which is like a digital collectibles online. But I think once they start, like the pass that I bought Sunday, like that should be an NFT. Because then like what happens if, what if I want to buy like a theme park pass for, they're always like a year long, right? And Disney, and for example, they stopped selling them for a couple of months. And I could have sold it if it was an NFT for like twice the amount that I paid for it. Disney gets a 10% kickback. So, you know, it's just, it's a great use case. So that's marketing. Content, I'm also really excited for. So I've been experimenting a lot with this one social media platform called Lens Protocol. They are kind of like the premier Web3 social media platform right now. But it's really awesome because as a creator, I don't own any of my content. So if TikTok decided to delete my profile today, like that's that. I don't own the videos. I post it. Like I, Jessica, save all my videos that I post online. But at the end of the day, you know, not everyone does that. And so being able to actually own all of your own content as an NFT is going to be really valuable. But what also happens if I have a video that goes mega viral and then other people can collect that as an NFT, they could then sell that on the secondary market if there's demand, etc. So there's ways for creators to make money there. What I'm also really excited for too is I think a lot of social media will turn into, if you think of like OnlyFans, how it is subscription based. What we're going to have is the same thing, but NFTs, but it's not going to just be, you know, the adult entertainment industry. It's going to be every type of creator. It's going to have some sort of token out there that might be an actual like crypto token, or it might be just an, you know, a non-fungible token. And if you have that NFT, that gets you access to the creator's content. And so I think that's also a path we're going to start to move down to.
I want to go back to your example of Disney and the NFT being your pass. Arguably, isn't that pass now a piece of content?
Yeah, you could. I've never thought of it that way, but you could totally classify it as that. Yeah.
So content is really driving a lot of this change.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that the creator economy and its explosion over the last couple of years, especially post-pandemic, like I think that has kind of been the perfect, you know, mixture of the creator economy plus NFTs kind of coming about.
So when you look at an event like, you know, everyone's talking about Super Bowl at the moment here in San Francisco, it's just around the corner. I'm amazed that they don't have NFTs as their tickets.
I think they sent out a commemorative NFT last year, but it was not the ticket. It was an add-on, or I think it might have just been an email that everyone got, but agreed. So, and I mean, gosh, I could talk about ticketing forever. Scam, fraudulent tickets, huge, huge problem. I love festivals, and I can't tell you how many times I've had a friend like trying to find like Coachella tickets online on the internet. And, you know, they then ping me because I'm just that person that people go to. They ping me and ask me, you know, do you think this is legit? And half the time it's not. And so, you know, having some sort of secondary marketplace that doesn't require centralized intermediary for people to be able to just sell their tickets and like know that it's valid, right? Because it's valid because it's on the blockchain and I can transfer it to you that way. Like, I think that's going to totally, it's going to, you know, really make ticketing, or really like solve the ticketing problem that we have today too. Or also like verified fans. With everything that's happening this week, in particular with the Senate hearings, I think it was Senate, maybe it was the House, with the congressional hearings and Taylor Swift, the fact that, you know, verified fans can't even get tickets. Like I, you know, my friends, they were trying to buy tickets. One of them did manage to get our group's tickets, but it was just a shit show. And, you know, I just think verification on both, are you a fan of this artist? But then also verification of, is this ticket an actual ticket? I think those two problems are really, you know, Ticketmaster is going to have to think about some new things in their new business. And they are like, they have hired some Web3 folks. Like a lot of these big companies that I've seen are like hiring Web3 legal folks. That's kind of like the main hires so far too. And so they're starting to think about it. Live Nation's starting to think about it. Who owns Ticketmaster? But it's going to be a rude awakening for them.
So I've already asked you about some of the brands and the organizations that are leading the way. And we've talked about what Starbucks is doing. We also talked about some projects that didn't get it quite right. Can you tell me a little bit more about why you think they failed? You know, what do failed projects perhaps have in common?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest problems that brands and a lot of artists, because we'll throw them into that mixture, artists, celebrities, influencers make in the Web3 space is that it kind of comes back to who is your customer and who is your target fan? And is that person already in the Web3 ecosystem? Or are you trying to tap into an ecosystem, that being Web3, that none of your fans are in, right? So there's folks like Bella Hadid that have come out, try to release an NFT, and it majorly flops because her target fan isn't spending their money on NFTs, maybe doesn't know how to buy an NFT, and it's too difficult for them. Or, you know, with like Kevin Hart, he had a comedy special that was animated with Roku that he released over the last year. And they launched an NFT that got you some like special backstage access, like a behind the scenes video, but the value of it just wasn't great enough. And again, his existing fans weren't really in the Web3 space. So, you know, it's okay if you want to go into Web3. It's just, if your existing customer isn't in the Web3 space, you need to have a damn good reason why. And start building community like 6 months out from when you're trying to do your NFT drop, if that's what you're doing. I think that there's ways that brands could totally tap into Web3 without having to do an NFT drop. Like for example, with Porsche, I think that if Porsche had sent all of its, let's say anyone that had bought two cars from them before, I sent them an NFT, free NFT, said, hey, you're a loyal customer. We're going to send you this NFT. And as a result, you know, next time you come to us, you'll get, you know, free replacement tires or something that's actually of monetary value. I feel like those would have probably done better on the secondary market than what they did instead, which was just like a blank NFT drop. And so really figuring out who are you targeting and what is the value you're bringing? I think those are the places that a lot of brands have gone wrong and just assumed they had loyal enough customers, put something out, done very minimal community and customer relationship building in the Web3 space specifically, and just watched it fail.
So there's that community piece again. So one of the things at Distillery we think about a lot is diversity and inclusion. You know, is there anyone who's getting left behind in all of this?
Yeah, I think I have two answers to this. Number one, I think a lot of blockchain technology, especially on the payment side, is very well suited for more developing countries or countries where, you know, the bankless countries. But at the same time, like there's a technological gap of having access to 5G. And so I think there's a disconnect in regards of there's some really great technology, but not enough instances in which it can directly be usable today. Maybe 2-3 years, awesome. But I think there's that aspect of being left behind. The second aspect is also, I kind of touched on this earlier, you know, 80-85% of the people that are really, really involved in the Web3 space are men. And so if you think about it from how do we make sure that like other genders don't get left behind, having affinity groups, you know, there's no formal like Web3 organization, but there's definitely a number of groups for women in particular, like My BFF, which is a great group run by Jamie Schmidt, who's like a legend in the CPG space and has done a lot with consumer products and building loyalty programs. She's running My BFF. There's also a group called Boys Club, which is for everyone but boys. So, you know, just there's some fun groups of folks if you're a female or non-binary. There's also, from a race perspective too, it's a lot of like white guys. And so I am half Mexican. And so, you know, I'm not a white guy. I'm, you can hear it from my voice. I'm really involved in a group called Web3 Familia, which is an awesome group of folks that are Hispanic or like even folks that are currently like in Mexico or Central America that want to get into the Web3 space too. So there's definitely affinity groups for folks that are either like diverse genders or diverse races and trying to help educate folks and like get them jobs in the Web3 space if they want to and make sure that, you know, there's a lot of grants to be able to go to conferences because conferences are like a really big part of the Web3 space. There's so many. And being able to make sure those people can attend is also really important.
So the next thing I wanted to ask you about was Web3, changing business, specifically, you know, around marketing and content. But we've kind of touched a lot on that already when we talked about Disney and Starbucks. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Actually, one thing I want to say about that. One thing that I think is going to be really fascinating, the blockchain, almost all data is public. So if you looked up my wallet address right now, you can see all the NFTs I have. If I'm a brand, let's say I'm Starbucks, I can look up anyone, whether or not they're a customer or not, if I have their wallet address. It's basically your wallet address, for folks that don't know a lot about Web3, your wallet address is kind of like your email address in the Web3 world, right? It's like a unique identifier that identifies this is the container of my digital items. If I'm Starbucks and I look up, you know, Steve's wallet address, I could see that maybe he's a Dunkin' Donuts guy, right? Like, what if you have the Dunkin' Donuts NFT? I can then target you and target other Dunkin' Donuts users that are customers that I want to try to convert into Starbucks customers, right? Or let's say 10% of Starbucks customers also shop at Nordstrom. Same deal. If I have your wallet address, I can then go and see what other NFTs you have. So I think, you know, today it's a little bit harder to do that. The power of the data and the data being public, I think, is going to allow for so much more personalized marketing and personalized experiences that encompass your entire purchasing activity and your buyer persona versus just the information that we know about you that you tell us.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, what do you think are going to be the big trends in the next 12 months?
Yeah, I think it's going to be free NFTs. I think people are pretty burned. I think people that are already in the Web3 space are kind of burned out from purchasing NFTs. People that are not in Web3 that might be crypto curious or Web3 curious, they're probably skeptical about buying an NFT, especially in this market and with all the news that's been happening. And so I think what we're going to start seeing is existing companies rewarding existing customers. And you're seeing that a lot with like ticketing events. So like the Super Bowl last year, or like The Weeknd on his tour this past year or last year in 2022, he partnered with Binance to give everyone there that attended one of his concerts at NFT. And so I think we're going to start to see a lot of that, of like trying to onboard folks into Web3 and getting them to use this technology in a really easy way, but also that doesn't cost a lot too, because cost has been like a big barrier to entry for the last 2 years.
At Distillery, we work a lot in the B2B space, especially around B2B content in customer advocacy programs. And one of the things that we've been exploring and experimenting with is how we gamify an advocacy program and how we could engage that gamification in, you know, Web3, combine those two things. You know, in terms of the B2B space, what do you think the opportunities are there?
What I have seen are companies like Shopify that are trying everything they can to help existing B2B customers that they have, try to figure out, how do I sell NFTs? How do I sell digital merch? And so they've been trying to create their own tooling to allow companies to do that. There's another company that's a startup, I think they're a Series A now, called Third Web. They're absolutely amazing and like phenomenal, because they basically built no code technology for a brand or a company or really like any business that wants to actually start selling NFTs or like really get into the Web3 space. And so I think from a B2B perspective, the tooling that's going to come about there is, how do I make this as easy as possible for my organization to enter Web3? But then also, how do I make it as easy as possible for my customers to enter Web3 too?
Jessica, it's been so awesome to talk to you today. I've so enjoyed being back on the podcast and having you as part of our Web3 series and to kick this off together. So if people want to learn more about Web3, can you recommend any resources?
So I created a Web3 resource guide. If you go to web3resourceguide.com, and three, the number three, just in case, you can find, I think now, over like 250 links to different resources within NFTs, the blockchain, DeFi, so decentralized finance, DAOs, which are decentralized autonomous organizations, which, you know, people think could become the new form of companies per se. I'm a little skeptical, but I tend to be skeptical about new stuff at first. And so you can find all kinds of resources there. You can find me on every platform but Twitter at Jessica E. Lawson. And on Twitter, I'm Jessica Lawson 92.
Thanks again, Jessica. The links are below to web3resourceguide.com and Jessica's social channels. Don't forget to subscribe to Distillery Sessions. We've got another fantastic Web3 guest coming up in another couple of weeks. Check us out on social. That's at We Are Distillery. And don't forget to have a look at our website, wearedistillery.co. And I'll see you next time.